Today's shir is Masech Tesukah Daf Chaf Hei, and we're going to begin at the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hei Amir Aleph. Shluchei Mitzvah Pturim in a Sukkah. Our Mishnah begins with teaching us a halacha that somebody who's involved in doing a mitzvah doesn't have to sit in the Sukkah. And as the Pnei Yeshua points out, the Mishnah is not just saying that somebody who's an Oisik B'mitzvah, somebody who's actively doing a mitzvah, even if he's just a shliach mitzvah, he's parted from sitting in the sukkah. So there's a very fundamental machlokes between Tosfos and our Zeruah when we apply the concept shluchei mitzvah p'turim in a sukkah. According to Tosfos, it's if somebody is in the middle of doing a mitzvah and you can't do two things at the same time, so the Mishnah and the Gemara, we're going to learn a mitzvah, Shem teach us, a shliach mitzvah is part of min ha-sukkah. But if he's doing a mitzvah, but that doesn't interfere with him sitting in the sukkah, he should sit in the sukkah. And what's Tosfos' proof? It's a great proof. He says, all of us are oisik b'mitzvah all the time. If we wear tzitzis, we're oisik b'mitzvah. So we shouldn't have to do any other mitzvah. Obviously, says Tosfos, oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, doesn't just mean that you're doing a mitzvah. It has to mean that the performance of one mitzvah interferes with the performance of the second mitzvah. The Or Zeruah disagrees. Because the Or Zeruah says to tell us that if somebody's doing a mitzvah, he doesn't have to do another mitzvah, we don't need a Mishnah. It's obvious. Nobody can do more than one thing at a time. So the Or Zeruah says that oisik mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, means that even if you're just thinking or involved in doing a mitzvah, even though it doesn't necessarily interfere with you being able to do the second mitzvah, that's already considered an oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. The Pnei Yeshua asks, why does our Mishnah in Masech the Sukkah from all places teach us the halacha of oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah? As we're going to learn the Gemara soon, the halacha of oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, we learn from Krishma, we learn from Pesach, so we should have taught this Mishnah, Masech the Psochim, and Masech the Brachas. Why do we learn in Masech the Sukkah? So Pnei Yeshua says four answers. One answer, he says, is just for the halacha of ois b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah, we wouldn't need our Mishnah. The reason it's mentioned is because the Mishnah is going even a step further, as we're going to learn the next halacha, that even a sick person and the people who take care of the sick people are potter, which is an extension of ois b'mitzvah and partim in a mitzvah. So the Mishnah begins with an introduction, ois b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah. Another explanation he gives is that the mitzvah sukkah is a very unique mitzvah. It's a 24-hour, 7-day mitzvah. So we think that a mitzvah which was 24-7, there isn't the rule of oisik b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah, teaches us the Mishnah even such a mitzvah, oisik b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah. Another answer he gives is that sukkah is a mitzvah that's different than other mitzvahs. And why? Because it's a mitzvah that it's konvaseh. You have to do something. You have to go into the sukkah and eat. So I would say, when is there a din of oisik b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah? If you don't have to do another mitzvah. But here, if you eat outside the sukkah, you're actively violating a mitzvah, say, maybe I shouldn't say oisik b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah. Teaches us the Mishnah, we say it even under those circumstances. And the fourth answer he gives is because by sukkah, it's a marasayid. Let's say I'm eating outside the sukkah because I'm an oisik b'mitzvah. But you don't know I'm an oisik b'mitzvah, so you're going to say he's eating outside the sukkah. Teaches us the Mishnah, even under those circumstances, oisik b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah. So Rashi gives us some examples of oisik b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah. One example he gives is, going lilmud Torah. Somebody's going to learn Torah. So the Mefarshim asked Rashi that the halacha is that even though oisik b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah, that doesn't apply to lilmud Torah. Because and the Mefarshim say two explanations why. One is because we're supposed to learn all the time. So if you're supposed to learn all the time, and oisik b'mitzvah, partim in a mitzvah, when will you do any other mitzvah? Another explanation is that what's the point of learning Torah? What's the point of learning Masech the Sukkah? To know how to do mitzvah sukkah. So if you're going to learn and never do any of the mitzvahs, what's the point of your learning? So why does Rashi say that somebody's going to learn Torah is exempt from the mitzvah of doing a mitzvah of sukkah? Torah is not an exemption. So I saw a number of interesting answers. The Sameach answers, let's say somebody has a shir. Has a shir every day from 1 to 145. Now that shir is only 1 to 145. He can't say, you know what, I'll sit in the sukkah now, and I'll go to the shiur later. There is no shiur later. That's why the Mishnah teaches, that's when Rashi says, that learning Torah exempts you from sitting in the sukkah. Another explanation is that a person has to learn every day. So let's say I didn't learn at all today. When is there a halacha that somebody who's learning is exempt from doing a mitzvah? Is not exempt. That's if you already learned. But if I didn't learn at all today, so then I'm not exempt. Another explanation is that, let's say the mitzvah could be done by someone else. So there, my learning takes precedence over someone else not doing the mitzvah. Then Rashi gives the next example. Lahagbu pnei rabbi. Somebody goes to greet his Rebbe. So the Mefarshim ask, greeting your Rebbe is not a mitzvah daraisa. So how could greeting your Rebbe supersede a mitzvah daraisa of sitting in the sukkah? So the Mefarshim answer, some say that it is a deraisa, because the pasuk says, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, Es L'Rabbis Tamid Chacham, so it is a deraisa. Others say, it has a status of Divrei Kabbalah, and Divrei Kabbalah are like Divrei deraisa, and that's why it has the same halacha, like all mitzvahs deraisa. Rabbi Chanan Vassman says a chiddush. Rabbi Chanan says that even by a mitzvah derabbanon, we say, Oisik a mitzvah, potem a mitzvah, and if you're being Oisik in a mitzvah derabbanon, it supersedes doing a mitzvah deraisa. And the explanation simply is because every derabbanan is based on a deraisa, because the Torah says, Leisosor, we have to follow what the derabbanan say. A few more rules in Oisik a mitzvah, potem a mitzvah. The Paiskim say, the Shal Shetshuva Shem Aryeh says this, Oisik a mitzvah, potem a mitzvah. Let's say I'm doing a mitzvah, which is Ben Adam L'Makayim. And at that time I'm obligated to do a mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveroi. I don't have an exemption. Oisik a mitzvah, potem a mitzvah is I have two mitzvahs that are Ben Adam L'Makayim. So the halach is, if I'm doing one, I don't do the other. But let's say I'm doing a mitzvah Ben Adam L'Makayim, it doesn't have the ability to exempt me from mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, and I have to do it. The reverse, yes. I'm doing mitzvah Ben Adam L'Chaveroi, I don't have to do mitzvah Ben Adam L'Makayim. Another Shaila, the Shagas Arya asks the Shaila, let's say I'm being Mekayim a mitzvah because I have a Sofik. I don't know if I have to Mekayim it, so out of a doubt, I'm being Mekayim it. Do we still say Oisik a mitzvah, potem a mitzvah? The Shagas Arya asks it for a Shaila. The Tzofnes Pneich, the Ragachava says that even if somebody's being Mekayim a mitzvah out of doubt, we still apply the rule of Oisik a mitzvah, potem a mitzvah. Continues the Mishnah, Cholim u Misham Sheyem, Peturim in a sukkah. Somebody who's ill, and the people attending him are part of a sukkah. So there's a machlokes rishonim in how to understand this halacha. Some say, it's because oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah. I'm taking care of an ill person. And others say, because it's teishvu ka'ein teduru. A person who's sick needs an attendant, so if I have to be inside with the person, I can't be outside in the sukkah. What's the nafkamina? A very big nafkamina. If the reason is because oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah, so let's say this sick person is sleeping, he doesn't need me, so then I have to go into the sukkah. If it's because teishvu ka'ein teduru, that I have to be with this person, that even when the person doesn't need me that very moment, I'm still part of from sitting in the sukkah. Oichel m'shoyis n'arai, chutz l'sukkah. You're allowed to eat, or you're allowed to drink, ashtiyas outside, if it's not permanent, chutz l'sukkah. And we're going to discuss this more in the Gemara, what is not permitted to eat nor drink outside the sukkah. Ask the Gemara anonymously, how do we know that oisik b'mitzvah is potem in a mitzvah? Ask the Ritva. What's the Shaila? Like we said when we learned the Mishnah, you can't do two things at the same time. So if I'm doing mitzvah one, I can't do mitzvah two. Why do I need a pasuk for it? So Ritva says two answers. One answer, he says, is that how do we know oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah is a simple concept. But let's say I'm being oisik in mitzvah one. How do we know that I'm not allowed to stop and do mitzvah two? Let's say I'll decide, you know what? I'm doing another mitzvah, and then I have to sit in the sukkah. I'd rather sit in the sukkah. That you have no right to do that. If you're being oisik in the first mitzvah, how do we know you're not allowed to stop to do another mitzvah? That's one explanation the Ritva gives. And another explanation the Ritva gives is that, let's say I'm being oisik in a mitzvah. And now another mitzvah comes up, which is a more severe mitzvah. How do I know that even under those circumstances, we apply the halacha of oisik b'mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah, teaches us the Gemara, the source. Based on this, what we just learned, I saw some Paiskim say a very interesting halacha. Let's say somebody's Oisik b'mitzvah part them in a mitzvah. He's being Oisik b'mitzvah one. Let's use our Gemara. He doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. He's being Oisik b'mitzvah. And he doesn't know the Gemara. He didn't come to the shir. And he stops doing the mitzvah and he goes to sit in the sukkah. So he's, according to the Gemara, simple pshat, he's not obligated to sit in the sukkah. So some Paiskim say he's not allowed to make a bracha leisha b'sukkah. You only have to make a leisha b'sukkah if you're obligated to sit in the sukkah. But you're not obligated to sit in the sukkah. So you shouldn't be allowed to make a leisha b'sukkah. Or, many times, the halach is you could be mitzi. You could be mitzi somebody else. Here you can't be mitzi somebody else because you're not mechuyiv. The only time you could be mitzi someone else is if you're mechuyiv in the mitzvah. You're not mechuyiv in the mitzvah. So you can't be mitzi the next person. That other paiskim say, that's the way most paiskim learn, that even though I should not have interrupted the mitzvah, because as our Gemara is teaching us, oisik b'mitzvah, potam in a mitzvah, still, if I did interrupt, and I do the next mitzvah, I'm considered mechuyiv in doing the mitzvah, and I can make a bracha. In fact, the Stechemet goes so far to ask the Shaila, why if somebody interrupts doing a mitzvah, and goes to do the second mitzvah, is not called a mitzvah abba b'aveira, because I shouldn't have stopped doing the mitzvah. So the Stechemet answers that mitzvah baba avera is only when I did something active, when I did an avera. Here I didn't do an avera, I just stopped doing the mitzvah. That's not called a mitzvah baba avera. So I saw a very interesting shaila from Aaron Leib Steinman. He asks the following shaila. He says, we know we learned the Gemara Masechta Brachos in Shulchan Aruch, there are a lot of simonim to discuss this, that if somebody's in the middle of davening, is he allowed to answer Baruch Hu? Is he allowed to answer Kedusha? Is he allowed to answer Kaddish? Why is there a whole discussion? Why is it a mitzvah, part of a mitzvah? I'm in the middle of davening, so I don't have to do another mitzvah. So answers of Aaron Leib Steinman. When is there a klal of oisik b'mitzvah, part of a mitzvah? By two distinct mitzvahs. So the halach is, if I'm doing mitzvah one, I'm not supposed to stop to do mitzvah two. But this is all one mitzvah. Davening and answering Baruch Hu and answering Kedusha is all one mitzvah, the mitzvah of tefillah. There is no rule of Isaac the mitzvah, part of a mitzvah.
So,
you wouldn't taka. Menonimili. So, how do we know Isaac the mitzvah, part of a mitzvah? The Tanur Rabbanan, the Pasuk says in Krishma, v'shiftecha bebeischa, prat l'Isaac b'mitzvah. It comes to exclude somebody who's doing a mitzvah. Uvelechtecha b'derach, prat l'chosin. Chosin. And as we're going to understand, we're dealing with chosin after chasna, but he's preoccupied with preparing himself to have relations with his wife, is potter from Krishma. The kind of Amra Kainas is psula. Somebody gets married to a psula and he's concerned that he should do the bia properly. Potter does not have to say Krishma. That's Amona, but if somebody is married a widow, so there is no psulim, chayif. My mashma, how do we learn from this pasuk that oisik b'mitzvah is part of a mitzvah? Says the Gemara, amrafuni kederach, because we compare it to going on a trip. Ma derech, a derech is rishus, it means your trip. Af kol rishus, it comes to say only when you're doing something that you're not obligated to do. That's when you have to stop to say Krishma. Lefukahai, the mitzvah osik. That he's doing a mitzvah, he doesn't have to stop to say Krishma. Ask the Gemara, why don't we explain that the pasuk is discussing a situation where somebody is on a trip to do a mitzvah, and still the ka'am rachmana likra, and still the Torah says that even though you were doing a mitzvah, stop to say Krishma. Answers the Gemara, if that's shot in the pasuk, im kein lema kura b'sheves or b'leches, it should say b'sheves or b'leches, when you travel or when you sit. My b'shiftecha, when you're sitting, b'lechtecha, when you're traveling. Teaches us the pasuk belechas the doch hu de mechayves. When you're traveling for your own, that's when you chayiv. Ha belechas the mitzvah. But if you're going to do a mitzvah p'tiris, otherwise you're chayiv when you're not doing a mitzvah. When you are doing a mitzvah, you don't have to. And like Rashi explains, why do I need a pasuk both b'shiftecha and belechtecha? So Rashi says b'shiftecha teaches us that while I'm doing the mitzvah. And Belechtecha comes to teach us that not only while I'm doing the mitzvah, but even when I'm on the way to do a mitzvah, I'm potter from saying Krishma. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi I feel kind of slamana. So when somebody marries an almana, he also not have to say Krishma. It's a mitzvah to get married. Puravu answers the Gemara. Kindness is a psula torid. Somebody who's married a psula is concerned that it should do the bia properly. Kindness almana, however, somebody who marries an almana, loy torid, is not concerned that it should do the mitzvah properly, and therefore is obligated to say Krishma. So there's a machloikis, Rav Haigoin and the Rajba, how to understand this Gemara. Rav Haigoin explains that the Gemara is teaching us you need two conditions to be potter. You have to be doing a mitzvah, and you have to be torid. The Rajba explains you need only one condition. Either you're doing a mitzvah, or you're torid. But this person who already married Almana, the mitzvah of getting married he already did. Torid he's not. That's why he's chayif. Ask the Gemara, to call heich the torid hachanami the potter, is the halacha that if you're occupied, you're potter? Elam at the tovus v'nos b'yam, if somebody's ship sank, the tard, so he's certainly tard. If somebody had a bad day in the stock market, he isn't in the best frame of mind. Hokinami, the potter, so you're going to say that he's potter for saying Krishma. V'chitayim, if you're going to say hokinami, that perhaps what the pasuk is teaching us is that anybody who's preoccupied is potter from saying Krishma. Ask the Gemara, v'amar Abba Bazavda, Omer Rav, Oval chai b'chol mitzvah samuz b'torah. An oval has to do all the mitzvahs that the Torah tells us, chutz min tefillin, except from putting on tefillin, shei nema ben pe'er. Because as we're going to learn on Amud Beis, the tefillin are called our glory, so when you're an oval, you shouldn't wear something which is a glory. Why? If Torah makes you exempt from doing the mitzvah, why does an oval say Krishma? Answer the Gemara, hocha, by the person who married the psula, Torah turned to the mitzvah. He's preoccupied with doing a mitzvah. Hossam, somebody who's sick, whose ship sank, or somebody who's an oval, is Torah Tirda Dershus. It's not an obligated Tirda. So as Rashi explains, doing Avelis, doing the things that you have to do in Avelis, sitting Shiva, Kriya, are a mitzvah. Being Bitsar is not a mitzvah. So I saw the Mepharshim ask on Rashi. It's a very difficult Rashi to understand. Rashi's saying that being Bitsar is not part of Avelis. So Mepharshim asks, what's the whole point of Avelis? The whole point of Avelis is to show that you're Bitsar. So how could Rashi say that Tsar is not part of the Avelis? So Mepharshim say a beautiful answer. They say, what's the point of Tsar when somebody's Bavelis? It's supposed to bring a person to do tshuva, to realize that our existence in this world is temporary, or that the person left the world maybe because we did Averis, and should bring us to do tshuva. If Avelis will cause us not to do mitzvahs, it's just the opposite of what Avelis is all about. That's why somebody by Avelis is not exempt from doing the mitzvah. Ask the Gemara, v'oisv mitzvah potem and mitzvah mahochan nafka, is this the source for teaching us the halacha that somebody who does a mitzvah is potem and a mitzvah? Ask the Gemara mahochan nafka. We learn it from a different source. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, Vehi anoshim shoy ten meim nefesh odom. There were people who were Tomei and approached Moshe Rabbeinu on Erev Pesach and asked him, what should we do about the current Pesach with Tomei? Ask the Gemara, Oysim hanoshim mihayu. Who are those people? So the Ra asks, what's the Gemara's question? Who are those people? There were many people in the Midbar. Inevitably, people die. And when people die, people get Tomei. So what's the question, who those people were? So the Ra explains, these people came with a brilliant question. Regular people don't come with good questions. They must have been great people. Who are those people? Noisei Aroinu Shal Yosef Hayu. They were people that were carrying the Aron of Yosef. We know that Yosef at Tzadik requested that his Aron be carried to Eretz Yisrael. These were the people that carried his Aron, and therefore were Tomei, and came to ask Moshe Rabbeinu, what do we do about Pesach Sheni? Diver of Yosef Galili. Rekiv Aymer. Rekiva says, Mishol v'tzofen hayu. They were Mishol v'tzofen, sh'yoyoskim v'nodav v'aviyu. We know that Nodav and Aviyu died. Somebody had to take them out in the Mishkan. Somebody had to take them out. It was Mishol v'tzofen. So the Mepharshim ask, Mishol v'tzofen, Rashi says, were great people. They were prepared to take out Yosef's, they were prepared to take out Nodav and Aviyu. So what's so great? Somebody had to take them out. If they would have remained there, nobody would have been able to bring the Korban Pesach if dead people remained in the Mishkan. So Farshim answer that it didn't have to be Meshavet Tzofen. It could have been even Ketanim, could have been children. From here we see it was Meshavet Tzofen, great people volunteered for this mitzvah. The Mefarshim point out, based on this Gemara, a very interesting shaila. There's a Medrash. The Medrash says, as we know, Rabbi Kiva was in jail. He was one of the Asara Arugei Malchus. And Rabbi Shua Karchi was his, took care of him. On Erev Yom Kippur, Rabbi Shua Karchi went home. You have to eat Erev Yom Kippur. Comes to him Eliyahu HaNavi and tells him Rabbi Kiva died and come and we have to take him out to bury him. And they take him. And Rabbi Shua Karchi asks Eliyahu, how could you help me take out Rabbi Kiva? You're a Kohen. A Kohen's not allowed to become Tamei. So Eliyahu HaNavi answered him, Kivrei Tzadikim Einem Mitama. Tzadikim don't cause Toma. And therefore there are Paiskim that want to say that even a Kohen who's not allowed to become Tamei could go to a kever of a Tzadik based on that Medrash. But from here the Paiskim say, we see that's not true. Because the Gemara says here that the people who carried Yosef, the people who carried Nodav Aviyu became Tamei, either were great Tzadikim. So you see that even for a Tzadik there is Toma. I the Medrash. So I saw two answers. One answer is we don't base a halach on a medrash. Another answer is Rabbi Kiva was a meis mitzvah. He died in jail. There was nobody to take care of him. There, a kohen is allowed to take care of him. But under normal circumstances, you're not allowed to. Ask the Pnei Yeshua. We had the people who were carrying the Aroin Shel Yosef in the Midbar. So if they were carrying the Aroin Shel Yosef, they were tamei anyway. So why did they go ask Mishael and Elitzofen to take out another view? You could have asked these people who are Tamei anyway. Says the Pnei Yeshua, because this mandama holds that somebody who's Tamei may not enter the Beis Hamikdash under any circumstances. So since the people who are carrying Yosef are in the Tamei, we couldn't ask them to go into the Mishkan to carry out another view. We had to ask Mishael and Elitzofen. No, Yosef, there was nothing to do. He was dead already. Rav Yitzchak Oimer, Im Noisei Aron Shel Yosef Hayu, if we're going to say there were people that were carrying the Aron Shel Yosef, Kfar Hayu Yecholim L'tar. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. Yes, when Klal Yisrael were traveling, it was these people's responsibility to carry the Aron of Yosef. But Klal Yisrael and the Midbar weren't constantly traveling. In fact, for 10 months before this story that they approached Moshe Rabbeinu, they were in one spot. So when they were in one spot, the people who carried Yosef's Aron became Tahor and remained that way. So they had 10 months to become Tahor. So why are they still Tamei? Furthermore, in Mishav El Tzofen Hayu, Yuchon Hayu Latar. So again, Rashi explains. Nadav and Aviyu died on Rosh Chodesh Nissan. From Rosh Chodesh Nissan to Erev Pesach, there was plenty of time for them to become tahor and not have a shaila. Says the Gemara, El Oiskim Meis Mitzvah Hayu, they were people who got tamei because their close relatives died. Rashi tells us, Meis Mitzvah here does not mean the traditional explanation of Meis Mitzvah, that there's somebody who nobody to take care of. It means people who got tamei because their close relatives died. Shechal Shvi Yishlem Liyos Be'er Pesach, that the last day of the Tara process, because as we explained, the Tara process of sprinkling the Parav Aduma water takes 7 days, took place in Erev Pesach, Shnemar v'lo yochlu lasis Pesach b'yomahu, that seventh day they weren't quite yet ready for the Korban Pesach, b'yomahu ein yuchayim lasis, holamachar yuchayim lasis. So, that's why they approached Moshe Rabbeinu with the Shaila, if today we can't eat the Korban Pesach, that's the day, Erev Pesach, when we're bringing the Korban Pesach. But by tonight, when it'll be the time to eat it, we will be eligible. Do we or don't we eat? Do we or don't we? And they were told, you can't bring the Korban Pesach, wait for Pesach Sheni.
Because it had nothing to do with Yosef, it's a separate halacha because...
Exactly.
So, but the Medrash says that these were the individuals who were involved in Yosef, was irrelevant, because they were tar till that point. It's only that
that's the Gemara's Kasha. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Answers the Gemara Tzricha. So the kasha is, at the end of where we're up to, was we have two sources to teach us Oisik B'mitzvah, Patam and HaMitzvah. One is from B'shiftecha uVelechtecha, and one is from Pesach Sheni. Why do we need two sources to teach us the same halacha? Answers the Gemara. Diashmin Hasam Shem Delay Matuz Man Chiyuva de Pesach. When these people took out Nadav and Aviyu, like we just explained, it was Rish Chodesh Nissan. So the time for doing the mitzvah had not yet come. So right now I have in front of me the obligation to take out Nadav and Aviyu. In 2 weeks from now there'll be Pesach. That isn't in front of me now. Aval Hocha. But somebody who's doing a mitzvah, the Matuz Man Krishma, that there's already a chiv to lay in Krishma. Perhaps I have no right to do another mitzvah, knowing that I'm going to have to say Krishma. Eim aloi, tzricha. V'yashmin hocha, b'shem d'laka chorus. Somebody who doesn't say Krishma is not over a mitzvah for it as a chiv chorus. Aval hosom, dikit chorus. Not bring a karm Pesach, as we learned, is a chiv chorus. Pesach and Mila are the two mitzvahs I say for which there's a chiv chorus. There, perhaps, we should not say the rule of oisik the mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. Eim aloi. Perhaps we shouldn't say the rule of oisik a mitzvah, potem in a mitzvah. Tzricha, that's why we need to have it in two separate places. Gufa, teach us the Gemara. The Gemara refers back to something we learned on Amal Aleph. Omer, Rav Abba Bazavda. Omer Rav, Ovel chai b'chol mitzvah samuz b'tayra, and Ovel is mechuyif to do all mitzvahs in the Torah, chutz min tefillin. Besides wearing tefillin, that on the first day, some say it depends if the first day was also the Yom HaKfura, others say it's not, shrei nemen ben pe'er. The tefillin are called the glory. How do we know? Mid amalei rechmona lecheskel. The Torah told, the Eibishter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you cheskel, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu there tells them in the Nevuah, do everything an Ovel does, but he also tells them, Pe'erecha chavish alecha, you should wear the tefillin. Tells them, Atu, the Mechayivis, you, even though you're an Ovel, have to wear tefillin, Avakule Alma, all other Avelim, Petiri, don't have to wear tefillin. V'hani Mili, however, says the Gemara, when was that said? B'yom Rishon. Only on the first day of Avelis. T'ksiv achriso kiyoim mar. Avelis is kiyoim one day. So there are a number of shailas that are asked on this Gemara. One shaila is, the Gemara says that the only mitzvah an Ovel is potter from is from tefillin. We know that an Ovel doesn't learn Torah. So what does the Gemara say that an Ovel is potter from learning Torah? So one answer given is, why doesn't an Ovel learn Torah? Because p'kudei Hashem yishorim mesam chelev. So the Gemara is saying, so that's obvious, that a mitzvah for which there's simcha, you don't do. The Gemara is teaching us all other mitzvahs that don't involve simcha, the Ovel has to do, besides tefillin. Another teretz I saw, is that an Ovel is mechui, does do Talmud Torah. Because the Gemara Masechta Bracha says, you can mekayim mitzvahs Talmud Torah with Krishma. An Ovel davens, so he says Krishma is mekayim mitzvahs Talmud Torah. Another answer I saw is that an Ovel is not exempt from learning. There are a lot of things that an Ovel is allowed to learn. So that's why we don't say he's exempt from learning. There's an interesting story. When the Imre Emes went to Menachem Ovel, Reb Chaim Berlin, when his father, the Netziv, was Nifter, so Reb Chaim Berlin told the Imre Emes that perhaps the Gemara says that an Ovel doesn't wear tefillin. What does the Gemara mean to say when it says an Ovel doesn't wear tefillin? It means he doesn't wear the tefillin shel Rosh. Because the tefillin shel Rosh are called the Pe'er. V'ro kolei ame'oritz, kishem Hashem nikra alecha, v'yor mimecha, elon tefillin shel Rosh. However, the tefillin shel Yad, which do not represent Pe'er, he said that he thinks that an Ovel should wear the tefillin shel Yad. The Emory Emes told him that that's not true, that even the tefillin shel Yad are called Pe'er. And he says there are two types of jewelry. Pe'er means glory, jewelry. There's jewelry that's visible, and there's jewelry that's not that visible. But the fact that it's not that visible doesn't make it not have the title of jewelry. And therefore, even the tefillin shel Yad, which is the minig, we should never have the shayla, avelim don't wear. V'amr of Abba Barzav da Amarav. Ovel chai b'sukkah. An ovel is chai b'sukkah. Esmer Pshita, why not? Madatay, answer the Gemara, Madatayma, Hoyel v'omer Rab Abba, Barzav da Omer Rav. since Rav Avazavda taught us, as we're going to learn tomorrow, mitzvah potim in a sukkah, that somebody who's in pain doesn't have to sit in the sukkah. Hay nami mitzvah who this person who's in ovel is bitzar kamash malon that he's chayif. Hani mili tzar de mela. When what kind of tzar tells you that you don't have to sit in the sukkah? That's when the sukkah causes the tzar. Aval hachi ihud kam tzar nafshei. It's not the sukkah that's causing the tzar. It's the fact that he's nebuch and ovel. He has to strengthen himself and sit in the sukkah. So the Marik asks the obvious question. What's the Gemara's Havamina? Mitzvah potam in a sukkah, what's the classical example? That if it's raining, or we're going to give other examples in tomorrow's shir, so you're potam from sitting in the sukkah. But this person, he's ba'avelis. So he's going to be an avelis if he's sitting in the sukkah, or he's going to be an avelis if he's sitting at home. So why should he not sit in the sukkah? The tzar, the grief that he's feeling because he's an oval, is with him wherever he goes. So the Rosh explains the Gemara very nicely. He says, usually in a sukkah, there are many people. So since there are many people in a sukkah, an oval wants to be left alone. He's nebuch an oval. So I would think that that should be a heter, that should be a right, that an oval should not have to sit in the sukkah. Teaches us the Gemara, mitzvah, potam in a sukkah, is only when the sukkah is causing the tzar. This is not because of the sukkah, it's because of the avelis, and he has to sit in the sukkah. V'yom Rav Zadar Amar Rav, chosin v'hashishbinin, v'kol b'nei chuppah p'turim in a sukkah. The chosin and all the people who attend him don't have to sit in the sukkah, kol shiva, the entire sukkah. So first of all, Doruch Lener asks a very obvious question. He says, how could you have that the chosin and the shishbinim during the sheva brachas don't have to sit in the sukkah? Has the Aruch Lener, we know that you're not allowed to get married on yontif. So how could you have sheva brachas that will take the whole yontif? He couldn't have gotten married on yontif. So the Aruch Lener answers that in those times the minig was that they got married erev Shabbos, erev yontif, but they didn't have a lot of money. So the suda was the yontif to gesuda. So when did the sheva brachas begin? On the first night of Yontif, so it took all 7 days. Another answer Aruch Lener says, it's a little more difficult to understand, is that yes, you're not supposed to get married in Yontif. But we're discussing a situation where somebody did get married in Yontif. Once he got married in Yontif, he has all 7 days for Sheva Brachas, and he's not obligated to sit in the Sukkah. Chosin v'shbinin v'kobnei chopa p'turim in the Sukkah kol Sheva. My Tama, Mishum the boy lemechti. They have to rejoice, and they can't do it in the sukkah. Ask the Gemara, v'lech lebesukkah, v'lech lebesukkah. Let them eat in the sukkah, let them eat, and v'lech lebesukkah, and have their simcha in the sukkah. Says the Gemara, ain't simcha el b'chuppah. The place where you have the simcha is where the chuppah is, and as Tosfos explains, the chuppah, they used to designate a special house where the chas and kala got married, and that's where it remained all 7 days. And how? So why don't we do that nowadays? Because we follow the Rosh. The Rosh disagrees with Tosfos, and the Rosh says that chuppah doesn't mean specific one house. Chuppah means wherever the chas and the kala designate to be their dwelling. So wherever they go, that becomes the chuppah. Ask the Gemara, v'lech l'besukkah, let them eat in the sukkah, v'lech b'chuppah, and rejoice in the chuppah. Answers the Gemara, ain't simcha el b'makom suda. The simcha is where you eat. You can't have it in two separate places. Ask the Gemara of Lev the chuppah b'sukkah. So let's make the sukkah to be the makom chuppah. Says the Gemara, bayam mishum yichud. The problem is, yichud. If the chosn will have to leave, and if the chosn has to leave, then the kala may be left with somebody alone. And if the kala is left with somebody alone, there's a problem of yichud. So there are a lot of halachas based on this Gemara regarding yichud. One question that Shebina Rav discusses the Shaila, the Binus Adam discusses the Shaila, is that one of the halachas in Yichud is that Bala Be'ir doesn't, there's no halacha of Yichud. So here, the husband's there. He just left the sukkah for a short while. So why is there a problem of Yichud? So the Shebina Rav answers, the Bala Be'ir does not apply Baliba Gaspa. That if the person that she's left with alone is a person that she has a close relationship with, there is no Bala Be'ir, there's no Heta Bala Be'ir. And that's the person that was left with her in the sukkah. Another answer I saw is that if the husband gives her permission to remain with someone, there is no heter ba'al be'ir. The husband knows that she's remaining there with this man, so there's no heter ba'al be'ir. Then I saw another shayla. Another heter, a very important shayla again in Hilchos Yichud. One of the heterim in Hilchos Yichud is that if you leave the door open, there is no problem of Yichud. So sukkah has, leave the door open in the sukkah, and there won't be problem of Yichud. So the Mefarshim say, halach l'maisa, that when is there a heter of leaving the door open, is that if it's a door that people walk by. So if you leave the door open, so there's a concern that somebody's going to walk through the open door, and that's why there's no problem of Yichud. But in those days, as we'll see in the Gemara, the sukkahs were generally built on the roof. So leaving the door open on the roof, when nobody walks by, is not a heter for Yichud, and that's why the Gemara said there was a problem of Yichud. V'Rav Amar, Mishum Tzar Chosin. The Chosin, the sukkah, is a place, and Rashi says almost two contradictory things. On one hand, Rashi says the sukkahs were small. So people like when there's a large crowd joining them for the Sheva Brachas. And when you have a small sukkah, you can't have a large crowd. That's one explanation. On the other hand, Rashi says, as we've learned also many times in this Gemara, is that the sukkahs were made out of three walls. So it was totally open on the fourth side. So the chassan doesn't feel comfortable being with the kal in such an open area. That's why you don't have a that's why you shouldn't make the chasana. You can't have the chup and the sukkah. Ask the Gemara, my benayu, ik benay the shchichi inch the nafki ve'ayel lahasam. There are a lot of people walking in and out of the sukkah. Laman dam mishim yichud, if the concern is yichud, so there's no concern because the people walking in and out all the time. Laman dam mishim tsar chasin, if the concern is that the chasin doesn't enjoy being in the sukkah, therefore there's a problem. Says the Magen Avraham, nowadays we don't have this Gemara. Because as long as you have people walking in and out of the sukkah, and our sukkahs nowadays, we could build large sukkahs, and we could build, and most of our sukkahs have four walls, you're allowed to have the chasan and kala should make the sheva brachas in the sukkah. In fact, I saw a very interesting shayla. Somebody came to Rav Shach with a shayla. He says he's a chasan, and they have to set a date for the wedding. And the question was, should they set the date for the days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, but then we have the problem of Al Gemara of the Sheva Brachos and the Sukkah, or should they set the date for after Yontif? So Rav Shach told him, it's better to get married sooner than later, and set the date between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, and have Sheva Brachos in the Sukkah. And Rav Shach said, I myself got married between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. Says the Gemara, I'm Rav Zera, and no achli b'sukkah, I ate in the sukkah, v'chadi b'chuppah, and I rejoiced in the chuppah, v'koshke in the chadi liboy, I was very happy, the ka'ivid natarti, I did two mitzvahs. I did the mitzvah of mesamei chasim v'kala, and I also did the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. And I saw the Shal Shachuvah's Pinyin Tzion says, the same thing applies, let's say it could happen in Tishrei. We don't do Kiddush Levana until after Yom Kippur. And let's say after Yom Kippur it's cloudy. So the halacha is we don't do Kiddush Levana on a Friday night. But on Yontif you're allowed to do Kiddush Levana. So he says if somebody does Kiddush Levana on a Yontif, he should be doubly happy. Because he did a mitzvah on a Yontif. So he has Simchas Yontif and Simchas Mitzvah. Tan Rabbanan, Chosin v'Shishbinin, v'kol b'nei Chopa, p'tur min ha-tfila u'min ha-tfila. A Chosin and the people who attend him are Potter from Tefillah and Tefillah, the Chayavim Krishma. Mishum Rav Shela Amru, Chosin Potter, the Chosin is Potter, the Shishbinim Kabane Chopa Chayavim. So the Machlokes Rishonim had to understand this Gemara. Rashi seems to explain this Gemara that we're going coin to Manda Amr, the Hoysik B'mitzvah, Chayiv B'mitzvah. That we don't have the exemption. So the Gemara is saying that even though somebody is doing a mitzvah, he's exempt from the mitzvah. But tefillin, which need concentration, the Tanakhama says, even though he's mechuyav to do all the mitzvahs, he can't do, because he can't concentrate. Krishma, which is only the first pasuk, doesn't take that much concentration, he could say. And Rav Shela comes to disagree and says that no, Rav Shaila comes to disagree and says that the Shishbinin can at least concentrate for the first Pasuk, but the Chassan can't even concentrate for the first Pasuk, and he's Potter. That's how Rashi explains. Other Rishonim explain the Gemara that this Gemara is going according to Man Amar Oisik B'Mitzvah is Potter Min HaMitzvah. But even though we said Oisik B'Mitzvah is Potter Min HaMitzvah, as we said at the beginning of the Shir, that's only when the second mitzvah interferes with your ability to do the first mitzvah. But if it doesn't interfere, you have to do it. Comes along, the Gemara teaches us, that since it's, if a mitzvah doesn't interfere, I have to do the other mitzvah, but tefillah and tefillin that I can't concentrate properly, I'm exempt from. And Rav Shaila says, the chassan's even exempt from krishma, because there's no way he could concentrate at all. And we know that the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah say that the Shulchan Aruch says that how long is somebody considered a chassan? Till 3 days after the wedding. We learned the Gemara Masechta Brachos. If within 3 days after the wedding he did not have relations with his wife, he can't say that he's preoccupied anymore because it's so distant from the wedding. However, the halach is, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, I think it's a Tosfos in Masechta Brachos, says that nowadays we anyway don't have the proper concentration when we say krishma, so no chassan has the right to say that I can't concentrate. And when you're not a chassan, you concentrate so well, so everybody is supposed to say krishma, and there is no excuse that I can't concentrate.
Tomorrow, the Gemara quotes the Gemara again tomorrow.